Listen, here's our preaching material in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. The Bible says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As you take your seats, I want to wrap up our thoughts today about good news for the weary. Good news for the weary, the second and final part. On last week, we were talking about how we should be mindful of weariness and Jesus's offer. Under weariness, we talked about how we all carry some burdens, and burden carrying can lead to weariness. Somebody ought to be able to say amen. Then we started to talk about Jesus's offer, and we said that Jesus cares about all of those who are weary. That's good news when we are weary. But it's also a sermon when you think about how Jesus is concerned with all who are weary. How many of y'all know the world is bigger than us? And so since we are the body and the bride of Christ, the church of Christ, we too ought to find ourselves concerned with all who are weary. We must be careful about dehumanizing people with our labels. Somebody say amen. The homeless are people. The immigrants are people. The terrorists are people. Jesus invites all who are weary to come to him. And as his church, we ought to find ourselves open-handed and open-hearted towards all who are weary. And then lastly, on last week, we talked about how Jesus offers rest and his methods of rest includes one, he can just remove the burdens. We love that part of God. But there are times when God does not move the burden. What he does is give us extra strength to carry the burden. And then thirdly, we said on last week that even when God does not remove the burden, even when he does not give us extra strength to carry the burden, a third way that the Lord can give us rest is by simply giving us peace in spite of the burden. Somebody say amen. Now today we go a little further, looking for the finishing line now, talking about how we should work on doing our part in getting to Jesus. What is the preacher talking about? He said we should work on doing our part in getting to Jesus. So I need to start off talking about doing our part. The text clearly says that Jesus calls all who are weary to come to him. Jesus is not chasing after them. They have to come to Jesus. And when they get there, they are expected to take the yoke of Jesus upon them. Three things catch my preaching attention about doing our part. Are y'all ready? The first one is, make sure you move towards Jesus. Somebody repeat after me, make sure you move towards Jesus. You and I must fight the temptation to make excuses, to feel helpless, and becoming a victim of our circumstances. We must press past all of the above and get ourselves to Jesus. It is sad to me that there are some who seem to only come to Jesus when their burdens get too heavy for them to carry, or when the weariness of life has become so worrisome to them that they have no other option. It seemed like that's unnecessary stress to me, but whatever way you come, I'm urging you to come while you have the time. Stop waiting for something miraculous to happen in your life. Stop waiting for somebody to come and rescue you. Stop waiting for some spiritual feeling down in your soul and get yourself to Jesus while you still have time. He says, come to me, all who are weary. Secondly, make sure you get to Jesus. Repeat after me, make sure you get to Jesus. On one hand, the church is very important, for after all, Jesus died for the church. The church is pictured as the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. The church is important. However, the church is not Jesus. Somebody say, the church is not Jesus. The church is made of people just like you. We have some strengths and we have some weaknesses. Truth being told, we have all sinned and we are all sinning and falling short of the glory of God. When you look around this room, you're looking at people who have burdens and seasons of weariness like everybody else on the third planet from the sun. Evangelism is not about trying to get people to just come join the church. Evangelism is about trying to get people hooked up with Jesus as Savior. Make sure you get yourself to Jesus. For it is Jesus who extends the call to action. It is Jesus who offers us rest. Now, for many of us, this means we have to look past distracting people to make sure we get hooked up with Jesus. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but I have found myself distracted by people. But I want you to teach me so we can teach the world how to look past distractions and make sure you get to Jesus. Now, I've learned when we work on our jobs, when we go to the grocery store, when we go out to eat, everybody is not on their P's and Q's. There are some rude people on our job. There are some disrespectful people at the grocery store. There are some unprofessional, unfriendly people at the restaurant. And somehow we've managed to look past all of the above and get what we came for. But when we come to church, if you're not careful, the devil will have you feeling as if it's all right to miss out on Jesus because you are distracted by the hypocrites that's sitting on your row. You feel as if, well, you get a pass for really getting involved with Jesus because you have discovered that the preacher is struggling with sin just like you are struggling with sin. The preacher came by to tell you, Jesus is so important. Your burdens are so heavy. Weariness is so serious that you and I must look past all distractions and get ourselves hooked up with Jesus while we still have time. Thirdly now, not only make sure you move towards Jesus, not only make sure you get to Jesus, thirdly now, make sure you take the yoke of Jesus upon you. Which I'll repeat after me, make sure you take the yoke of Jesus upon you. Listen to what Jesus offers us in the text. He does not offer us autonomy. He simply offers us an alternative opportunity for service. You are not free to just go do what you want to do. To be a Christian is not a yoke-less life. It is simply a better yoke. To be a Christian is not burden-free living. It's just a lighter burden. The mission of our church is to evangelize and edify God's way. This edification stuff is our work of helping people take on the yoke of Jesus. Now, at the core of taking the yoke, bearing the burden of Jesus are these matters. Make sure you're saved and make sure you're growing in your discipleship. Somebody say, make sure you're saved. You can be religious and not saved. You can be a decent person. You don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't chase. You got a good credit score without being saved. You can surely have many burdens and be very weary without being saved. So then what do I have to do to be saved? You must ask and trust God to save you because Jesus paid it all. You are not saved because you joined the church. You're not saved because you don't smoke, drink, or chase anymore. You're not saved because you wear church clothes. You're saved if you are saved because of your faith in Jesus paying for all of your sins. Here is my greatest concern. You can be sitting up here nodding, understanding everything I'm saying, and still not be saved. You can understand without believing. You need to make sure you are saved because not only is heaven real, but hell is real. I done told you. Not only does the yoke include being saved, but it also includes growing in your discipleship. And at the core of discipleship is loving God with all that we have and then loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. This is Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31 material. Loving God, that includes making sure you study and obey God's word for every area of your life. The best way to demonstrate you really love God is to do what God say do. If God had to choose between you worshiping him with enthusiasm on Sunday morning or obeying him the rest of the week, he chooses obedience over high praise every day out of the week. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But how many of y'all know if you obey his word, you're going to praise him? Because the word teaches us to enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If you love God, you will stop robbing him of his tithes and his offering, of his time and of his service. Discipleship includes loving God with all that you have. But then it also includes loving others. The Christian walk is not just vertical between you and God, but the Christian walk is also horizontal between you and people. You can't claim to be a super saint and the only thing that you are describing is your prayer and praise life. In order to be a super saint, you must also love people. Loving people means you got to at least work on saying good morning, smiling. If you only got two teeth, show those. You cannot be a grumpy, mature Christian. That's an oxymoron. That in order to be a Christian, you must demonstrate kindness and respond to the needs of people. Now, how many of y'all know there is some service we can do in church, but there's also service we need to be doing in the community? As Christians, it's both and, it's not either or. If God has put you in this church, in this body, you have a role to play in this body. But we don't live in this building. So when we leave the building, we also have service in this world. So what shall we do while we're in the building? Everybody ought to be inviting and bringing people with you to worship and to growth groups so we can grow together. You don't need to take a class. You don't need to fill out any paperwork. You can invite and bring people with you to worship and growth group so we can grow together. But then in the community, because after all, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. What can we do in the community? Everybody who can ought to make sure you vote. Did y'all hear me say vote? It is an insult. It is to spit on the grave of our foreparents for them to have dogs sicked on them, fire hydrants turned on them, for men to be lynched and women to be raped so that we can have a right to vote. And here we are now in 2017 with the opportunity to vote, and we're talking about, well, my vote don't count, or I don't feel like voting. If you are a Christian, you ought to use not just your prayer power, you ought to use your political power to put people in positions of influence, to carry out agendas that bring glory to the Lord. If you are too holy to be involved in politics, you leave unholy people to run the whole system. Somebody say amen. Not only does discipleship include loving God and loving others, but discipleship includes loving yourself. The second command says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. It is supposed that we love ourselves. I need a minute to probe this supposition. What does self-love look like? I would suggest self-love works on its mindset. You got to keep your head right. Joyce Myers is right. There is a battle for our mind. The devil is always trying to take position in our mind. He likes to give us a bad 5 minutes and watch us turn it into a whole bad day. He likes to get us started on a bad Monday and watch us turn it into a whole bad week. He likes to see how we can take a bad week and turn it into a whole bad month. He messes with our mind. Have you not heard, as a person thinketh, so are they. It's a battle for your mind. So then self-love says, I'm going to work on keeping my mind stayed on Jesus. It's a battle to say he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in the Lord. It's a battle to keep our mind on those things that are noble, those things that are good, those things that bring honor to the Lord. You don't love yourself too much if you allow people to just keep dumping bags and cans of garbage in your mind. Self-love takes care of his health. If we were children and we could eat whatever we wanted to eat and then run outside and burn it off, we wouldn't have to spend so much time here. But the truth of the matter is, most of our running days are behind us. We're just trying to walk a little bit now. And therefore, we have to be extra careful about what we put into our bodies. All of this sugar and stuff that is destroying the temple that God has placed in our trust. Self-love does not think it's optional and cute to destroy itself with diet and lack of exercise. The Christian understands, just like you have a duty to pray, you have a duty to take care of this body that God has placed in your trust. It suggests you really don't understand worship when you think you can come here for 2 hours and praise God enough to distract him from destroying the temple. If we really love ourselves, it'll show up in how we are a steward of our finances. It'll show up in the stewardship of our relationships. There are some people that you can't hang with because you are a Christian. Somebody say amen. I heard the songwriter says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I believe it was Amos who raised the question, how can two walk along together unless they agree. You got to watch the company that you keep. Now, for some of us, that means we got to build positive relationships. And can I tell you, step one of building positive relationships, be a positive person. Come on, talk to me here. In order for you to have a positive relationship, you need to be a positive person. Because the person you want to be in relationship with don't want to be in relationship with you if you are a negative person. But your relational stewardship is more than building the positive. There are some negative people in all of our lives that we either need to limit interaction with, or we need to eliminate interaction with, because they are killing your spirit. They are making your burdens heavier. They are making your weariness more intense. There are some folk you just can't roll with and carry the yoke of Christ. Self-love. It includes using your gifts and your passions in service. Every saved person has a good work to perform. And you'll never be satisfied until you discover and use those gifts in service. It's not enough to just listen to the choir sing, listen to the pastor preach, watch the theatrics of the worship experience. You have something to do, and there will always be a restlessness in your spirit until you find and use your gifts and passions for the Lord's glory. Discipleship is the second part of this yoke. Let me close now before all of y'all go to sleep on me and talk to you about Jesus. We're almost through. We're almost through. Not only should we come do our part, but make sure you understand who this Jesus is. The call to action is to come to Jesus, for he is the one who gives us rest. He is the one whose yoke we carry. Notice it is also, however, a call to learn from him. Is that what the text says? Learn from me. And here now is the curriculum outline of what we shall learn from Jesus. We will learn that his yoke is easier, that his burden is lighter. And we will also learn that Jesus has marvelous character. I heard him talk about how my heart is gentle and humble. I heard him imply that he is one of integrity. You can count on his promises come true. Can I have just a few more minutes of your time? First of all, Jesus has an easier yoke and lighter burden. It's a reasonable question. Reverend, in what way is the yoke that Jesus offered any easier than the yoke of this world? That's a reasonable question. In what way is the burden of Jesus lighter than the burden of the world? I think these are reasonable questions. First of all, they are easier, they are lighter, because they include peace and joy. Listen to me real good now. When you and I line up with doing God's will, when you and I line up with doing what God wants us to do, involved in the package is some peace of mind and joy of heart. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Then Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Did you hear that joy stuff? Now, that's what happens when you are lined up with God's will. But when you are not lined up with God's will, when you're just out here doing your own thing, when you're trying to carry the yoke of the world, you ought not be surprised when you feel overwhelmed by the negativity of our times. I mean, just look at what's going on. Not only is there tension in our churches, but I'm looking at somebody who got tension in your family, among your friends, somebody sitting here now that got problems in your health, somebody got financial problems. Can somebody say amen? If that's not enough, we live in Cincinnati, and there's trouble in our city. There's too much violence in our community. And worse than the violence we have already experienced in these first 4 months is the fact that violence goes up in the summer warm months. In other words, thugs don't like to come out in the wintertime, but they like to come out in the summertime. It's a violent time. And you know, you don't have to be doing bad things in order for violence to come in your life. You can be minding your own business and violence come catch you as an innocent bystander. And if it were not for the yoke of Jesus, we would find ourselves overwhelmed. It's not only violence in our communities, but when we look at the national order of things, we see trouble on every side. Not only is there division and negative polls inside our country, but there is serious concern about what will happen in our world. It is a dangerous time when a tweet can trigger missiles being launched. How many of you know missiles going up got to come down somewhere? And that missile mess around and come down in the wrong place. And here we find ourselves in World War III. But thanks be unto God, we don't have to be overwhelmed by the negativity of our time. We serve a Christ in our Sunday school lesson who says, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. This gives yoke carriers peace and joy. But we don't just have peace and joy for right now. We also have hope for the future. There are some people who've grown so cynical. You've grown to just be so hopeless. You think the way things are the way things always will be. But if you could ever get the yoke of Jesus around your neck, you will realize that in all things, God is working things out for the good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. No matter how bad things look, God is still able to turn things around in your favor. The same God who took Noah's ark from land and caused it to float on 40 days and 40 nights of rainwater is able to turn things around in your life and in mine. The same God who took Lazarus from the dead after he had been dead for 3 days and caused him to live again, that same God is able to turn things around in your life and in mine. There are some people who have already given the committal for Southern Baptist Church. They've already said earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You're just waiting for people to throw dirt in on the hole. But for those of us who are recommitted to doing the best that we can, what motivates us, what put pep in our step is not the negative attitudes of our day, but the faithfulness of our God. We believe that God specializes in taking what seems to be a done deal. It seems to be impossible. It seems to be over. God specializes in turning these situations around. He gets glory out of raising the dead. He gets glory out of making blind folks see and lame folk walk again. He gets glory out of doing things that nobody thought he can do. He is a great God. No wonder we have hope in spite of what we see. Jesus has an easier yoke and a lighter burden. Finally now, Jesus has marvelous character. You know, there are people who make all kinds of promises, but their character is so grimy, you can't trust their promises. But this is not the case with Jesus. You can trust the promises of Jesus because of his marvelous character. Can I describe three attributes of his character in these last few minutes? First of all, he describes himself as one who is gentle and humble in heart. I will not bore you with an extensive list of scripture, but would you just think about how much Jesus has already been through for you and for me? He came down through 40 and two generations to be born in a dirty, stinking manger for you and for me. That sounds gentle and humble to me. He was greater than all of the priests, and yet instead of preaching inside the temple or the synagogues, he turned mountainsides into preaching platforms and boats into teaching lecterns. He was humble and gentle for our behalf. Even though King of Kings, even though he was Lord of Lords, he allowed mean people to beat him all night long and then take him to be crucified on the next day. All of this because of his humble and gentle heart. But that's not the end of his character. He's also a God of integrity. He says what he means. He means what he says. He keeps his promises. Now, I could walk you through Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Talk about how God takes care of the birds. God takes care of the lilies. And he promises to take care of us. But you know, I really don't have to go deep into a scripture. You and I can just look back over our own lives and see how God has kept his promise of taking care of us. Yes, we've had many battles in our lives. Some of them we have lost. A few of them we have won. Yes, we have had heavy burdens to carry. Yes, we have had long seasons of weariness. Paint it as bleak as you choose. But before you finish telling the story, make sure you tell whoever's listening you are still standing. With all that we've been through, look at here, children, we're still in the house of prayer. With all we've been through, we got life in our body. We got food on our table. We have clothes on our back. We have shelter over our head. We have praise on our lips. We have hope in our heart. The best is yet to come. When you think about how good God has been to us, put this on the list. When you think about Mother Bolton and Mother Hamilton and Sister Maddie Sue Walker, these are 90-year-olds, and in Sister Walker's case, over 100-year-old people who are still living and among us today. 60 years before either of these three ladies were born, we were slaves in this country. There's a generation that think of slavery as ancient history. They think of pyramids and slavery all in the same voice. But I'm here to tell you, just 60 days in front of Mother Bolton's birthday, slavery was alive and well right here in America. But look at how far the grace of God has brought us. We are not all rolling like Barack and Michelle. We don't all have it like Oprah Winfrey or Tom Joyner. But thanks be unto God, we're still standing. Thanks be unto God, we still have a praise inside of us. In spite of all we've been through, we're here with every single one of our needs met, and so many of our wants have been supplied. And so then, as I get ready to leave you, let me remind you that we should work on doing our part in getting to Jesus. I wish that I could report that it would be an easy journey. But the truth of the matter is, the devil will do all that he can to block our progress. But I thank God that we have somebody who can give us the victory. I want to close now by just reading a portion of scripture. Y'all don't mind if I just read the Bible, do you? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Isn't that good news? We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but we have not been abandoned. Yes, we have been struck down, but we have not been destroyed. Please let me skip down to verse 16. The Bible says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Please give me a minute on verse 16. It cannot be denied, this outside stuff is wasting away. Can't nobody argue we can't do what we used to do. Can't nobody argue eyesight is not what it used to be. Hearing is not what it used to be. Memory is not what it used to be. This outside stuff is wasting away. But thanks be unto God, is more to us than outside stuff. We also have some inside stuff. And even when the outside is wasting, the inside is being renewed, not month by month, not week by week, but the Bible says day by day. Can I have a little time here? Every day you ought to make some time to work on your inside stuff. Make some time to pray. Make some time to read the word. Make some time to give God some praise. Work on your inside stuff. I gotta keep moving. Verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Do you see the picture? Yes. We got a lot of burdens. Yes. We have a lot of weariness. Yes. Trouble on every side. But we are on our way to a situation that far outweighs them all. Did you hear what I said? The devil is always trying to make us think the way it is the way it will always be. The devil is always trying to convince us that our situation is our destination. But the preacher came by to tell you the best is yet to come. Babies, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, hearts have not yet imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Finally, verse 18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I gotta get out of here. But did you notice the metaphoric language of the text? It talks about fixing our eyes on stuff that can't be seen. It's a metaphor. You gotta look deeper than physical eyes. It's not with physical eyes that we see the invisible. It's with spiritual eyes that we see the unseen and the unseeable. But I thank God I got spiritual eyes. My physical eyes may get weaker as the years go by, but my spiritual eyes are getting stronger every year. Every year, every battle, every fight, every struggle, the Lord is allowing me to see that I can trust him even when I can't understand him. Every year, I'm seeing I can put my weight on the Lord. He will take care of me. Every year, I'm seeing a little bit better. I don't have to fight all of my battles. When I was younger, I thought I had to fight all of my battles. I did not have a big brother. I did not have a big sister. Wasn't nobody coming to my rescue. I had to fight my own fight. But I'm learning how to see. I really do have a big brother. I got somebody who will fight for my honor. I got somebody when my back is up against the wall and I think I gotta go for broke. I got somebody who will make my enemies stumble and fall. His name is Jesus. I gotta get out of here. But would you please make up in your mind not to throw in the towel? I know you got heavy burdens. I know your weariness has become worrisome, but don't throw in the towel. It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concern in you. You mark my words, sooner or later, it will turn to your favor. I dare you to just do your hand like this. It's turning around for me. It's turning around for me. It's turning. It's turning. It's turning. It's turning. It's turning. It's turning. It's turning around for me. Isn't that good news? I said, isn't that good news? Whatever you're going through, it won't always be like this. No matter how much it hurts, if you can just hold on a little while longer, there's good news for the weary. We have somebody who's able and compassionate enough to give us rest. You don't have to leave here with a hung down head. You don't have to leave here talking about woe am I. God loves you. And no matter how jacked up you think your life is, he says, come unto me, all you who are weary, all you who are heavy laden, I have some rest for you. But it's up to you. You got to make the move. You got to take the step. Now the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you sitting right where you are. But I'm telling you, the best invitation in the world is extended to you. You can accept Christ as your Savior right here, right now. In spite of how jacked up your life is, you don't have to fix anything. The Lord can help you fix whatever is broken in your life. Why don't you give God a chance? Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, we invite you to come right here and right now. Thank you so much. You can use the form that's in your bulletins. Even now. But since you